Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. I am super excited about today's episode, Sales 201, Mastering the Intangibles. But before we jump in, we've got a quote of the day. Mastering others is strength. Mastering yourself is true power. Lao Tzu. And isn't that powerful? When you think about being a sales individual, whatever type of role that is, that comes from many people think about mastering the script or mastering rebuttals or what's my key closing line. But all of a sudden, the game shifts. The game shifts when you really think about instead of what is it that I'm going to say, but how is it that I'm going to show up? And no better person than my right-hand man, Kevin Glasscock, business partner with Orca Life, dear friend to have on the show to really go over those key points. Kevin, I'm super excited to have you today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited. I've been looking forward to it when you said we're going to talk about some sales stuff. I figured you and I would have some fun. We don't get to discuss the in-home sales like we used to as much together. So I think we could have a lot of fun and deliver something that will help folks.
Absolutely. Because, you know, Kevin, for those of you that don't know, Kevin and I go way back. We knocked on doors together for what? 7, 8
long time.
Years. Yes. Very long time. And, you know, Kevin, I know we were talking about this the other day. You know, a lot of folks at this point really think about the mental game, right? And there's a lot of focus on mental health or, you know, what are you doing for your mental every morning? And those things are very important. Would you agree those things are important?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes. Because mentally, if you're not there, you can't go to the next part.
Mm-hmm.
But so many times when we focus so much on the mental, we might miss out on the intangible, right?
Yes.
The real things that make the biggest difference, especially when, hey, you know, if one of your agents call you, Kevin, hey, Kevin, I've done this, I've done that, I've showed up at the home. But there's key things, and I'm so excited to jump into these. These are key things that I know that you have really formulated and done time and time again that I'm excited for you to share with folks, because it does make a big difference, especially in sales. They're the small things that make the big difference.
Yeah, so on the mental, we spoke about this earlier in the week, Lynn. So the mental part of sales is the hardest part, right? So it's the biggest part of it. We ride the roller coaster mentally. We all know that, which is why I believe we spend so much time talking about it. But as you were speaking through it, I thought to myself, I don't know about you guys out there. I don't mind hard work, but I don't want to have to work. I would rather spend my time being effective. So if I can learn the easy stuff, which is the intangibles, in my opinion, then what you help me understand, Lindsay, when you get these intangibles and you're so good, it's habit of what you're doing in the actual in the home, if you're in home sales or whatever, during your pitch, if you want to call it that. What happens is you have so much confidence in what you're actually, the intangibles, that it helps you stay together mentally and not ride a roller coaster, right?
True. Absolutely. And when you think about that, when you think about these intangibles that we're getting ready to share with everyone, think about the agents that you have helped along the way as far as coaching and going over these key points has helped them to go from good to great.
Yeah.
Right? So, all right. So the first intangible, and this is so important, and I laugh every time I think about this, it's eye contact. And let me just tell a funny. All right, let me tell a funny first, Kevin, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So Kevin and actually Kevin's brother, Alex Glasscock, he used to poke fun at Kevin because Kevin has the best eye contact ever. He said that he could stare a hole through someone with his eye contact. So,
hold on. I'll tell you, actually, it was like, I guess it was probably maybe 9 to 10 years ago, really early on in the career. And Alex had been with us less than a year. And we rode together that day to go make some sales calls. And so the idea was he wanted to see me present and he's going to take notes and then we're going to talk about. And when we got out of the house, it was a couple that we helped, sweet couple. I actually remember them. At the top of Alex's notebook in these huge bold letters, it said extreme eye contact. And then underneath of it, he wrote almost uncomfortable. And, you know, it's so that's hilarious that you brought it up, Lance. So. The easy answer in sales, what do you do? What's some intangible? Oh, eye contact is so important. It is. But let's talk about that because there's more to it than just saying look someone in their eyes when you're helping, right? So when Alex said almost uncomfortable and after we got done laughing, I told him, I said, you know, man, it's not uncomfortable for me. And I kind of thought through this whenever you said that to me. The reason it isn't uncomfortable for me, Lindsay, it's not like this aggressive stare a hole through you, like I'm overpowering you because I won't blink, or it wasn't that at all. It was full focus. Like I am truly in the moment with the client and I am focused on him or her or both of them. And people respect the eye contact, right? If Lindsay's talking to me and I'm saying, oh yeah, looking off in left field, that's disrespectful. It shows me you don't really care what I'm saying. So I just wanted to be clear there. It's not just, hey, look someone in the eye. If you're genuinely present with that human being, you will naturally keep eye contact. And what that real true eye contact does, it's not overpowering them. It actually just shows confidence in what it is that you're doing and you're going to help them with.
Well, and great point. And I really think it builds trust because think about the world that we're in today. 10 years ago, Kevin, we were writing on paper applications. There was no iPads, right? The cell phone, it was out, but it wasn't as functional as it is today. And so a lot of times folks are either on their phone or they're typing. So taking that time in the beginning to really be able to connect with them with the eyes says, hey, they hear me, they see me. I can trust this individual that I just met, right? Because you're transferring that trust to them and that confidence.
Especially in what we do. So a large portion of our client base is what would be considered the senior market, right? So if you ask 10 people, hey, what generation do you think values eye contact the most? 9 out of 10 is going to say the senior, right? Because they're old school. They believe in respect and trust. So, and then you're helping someone with whether it's life insurance, whether it's retirement plan or their Medicare. Those things can be confusing. So trust is a massive component. They got to trust that Lindsay's going to do right by me. And why not learn to have great eye contact, genuine eye contact, if it's going to help you help them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So eye contact is number one. So number two, all right, on the intangible, assumptiveness. And so I'm excited for you to really just kind of unpack that because a lot of folks might not fully understand. What do you mean by that?
I was super excited when we decided we're going to speak on assumptiveness because the idea of assumptiveness during sales, I think, can be misconstrued. Luckily, for the record, it's not something that I came up with. We stole this, right? Glenn Crashtree gave us.
Yes.
But so assumptiveness, first of all, ties right in with the idea of eye contact and confidence, right? So when you're talking about being assumptive, a lot of times, assumptive sales, so to speak, is misconstrued with you're aggressive, right? And that's not the case. And I believe the reason people might think assumptiveness is being aggressive, Lindsay, is most of us, at least I know I was raised by a wonderful set of parents. So we are raised to be polite, right? So we often use phrases, if you don't mind, or do you mind if, or is it okay, right?
Correct.
So what's crazy about that, if you really, really think about those polite phrases, most of the time when I say to Lindsay, hey, is it okay if I sit here? I know the answer from the person you're interacting with is, oh, of course. Like, it's almost silly if you really, like, I'm going to ask for permission for something. I know she's going to give permission. Like, it's just this polite way of interacting, right?
Correct.
So naturally, take that. Let's say you're 30 years old before you start in this business. So for 30 years of your life, you've been doing that. It is a habit. So naturally, you get into, if we're using in-home sales like we had, naturally, that new agent is going to say to the client, oh, okay, you do have some policies in place. Well, Miss Jones, if you don't mind, will you go grab those for me? Right. And then what happens in that moment, you have just handed Miss Jones the ability to say, no, I don't want to do that. Right.
Correct.
Where instead, if you've learned the assumptive approach, and we're going to break down being the professional, but I'm the expert. If I'm in the home, I'm the professional. Instead of saying, Miss Jones, if you don't mind, I would just say, oh, okay, you've got some coverage in place. Absolutely wonderful. I'll tell you what, go grab the policy. We're going to take a look at it and we're going to see if we can help you. So that wasn't aggressive, right?
Not at all. That's you being the professional. That's you being the professional because you have your license. You've helped hundreds of thousands of families. And one correlation that you made, this was probably 5 or 7 years ago, and it always stuck out to me. And you said, I think at the time you were seeing a personal trainer, and you correlated it so well. Hey, Kevin, would it be okay if you got down and gave me 20 push-ups? And then after that, I want you, if it'd be okay, if you're not too tired, to give me, 50 sit-ups. Would the trainer ever say that?
No, think about this, right? If I'm overweight or out of shape, I will go find a man or woman who looks or feels or has the physique that I'm aspiring to have. They're the expert. It is what they do for a living. Then on top of that, Lindsay, I'm going to pay that person to help me, right? So once we set that up, no way. They're not going to say, hey, if it's okay, Kev, do some. No, they're going to say, hey, man, we're going to superset. We're going to do 20 push-ups. You're going to hit, then we're going to pop up and hit these 30 squats and then come back over here for these dips. And then we're going to take a minute break and we're going to do that 5 times. And I'm perfectly fine with that. I want that, right? That is that person's job. So the idea, Lindsay, of assumptiveness is not aggressive, but here's the way for everybody listening. If it's something that you want to get better at, follow me here. You just have to tell yourself when you're in this home or you're doing your sales pitch, there's never a time that you should have to ask for permission. I know that sounds foreign to all of us, but if you really think about it, you're not aggressive, you're not pushy. That was never, ever my tactics, and they don't work, in my opinion. No, you build the trust with the client, and then when it's time to do the job, you're just, you literally, Lizzie, you have a license, you put 11 years into your body of work, you are the expert at what it is you're up with. So, hey, here's what we're going to do next. Here's what we're going to do. This is what we, and it just is this smooth, streamlined process where you solve the problem that they want you to help them solve.
Exactly. You just nailed it. You solved the problem that they sent the card in that you are supposed to solve, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And that's any sales, anything in the world. If I go to the store to purchase a vacuum from the vacuum salesman, I am coming to him saying my floors are technically, I'm saying my floors are dirty. I need something to clean them with. So he's not going to say, well, if it's okay, I'll show you how this works. No, he's going to say, dude, you need the whatever 3000. It's the best one out. And look what it, yeah. And I'm perfectly fine with that, right?
Correct.
It's just understanding the mentality or psychology behind it. You're not aggressive. You're just doing your job.
Correct. Well, again, it's like we talked about earlier. It's that shift in mindset, right? Just shifting from, hey, what we've learned over the years to assumptive. I'm here to help them. I'm here to help solve a problem. So assumptiveness being number two. So moving on.
Go ahead. We got to give them the life hack for all the parents out there with young children. Assumptiveness is literally a cheat code if you have young children. What happens? It eliminates. Kids are the best in the. They kids will walk you into a negotiation before you knew what happened. Young kids, right? So instead of, hey, would you like to eat this turkey and carrots? And then if you do, we can go play. It's, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to knock down these turkey and carrots. They're going to get our bellies full so we can then go play outside.
Yeah. Oh,
it's a life hack, I promise.
It is a life hack, and they are the best negotiators ever.
It's crazy.
Ever. That's so funny. Okay, moving on to number three. Number three, knowing when to listen versus when to speak. And I feel as a sales individual and as many of you, I'm sure that can be challenging at times, right? Especially if maybe your day hasn't gone what you anticipated, or maybe you've gotten hit with rejection or no's, and then you've got that commission breath going on. And then you got crazy Miss Betty that's talking your head off, and you're trying to really hear, you're really trying to figure out where this is going to land.
Yes. Salespeople aren't always the best listeners. Thankfully, Lindsay, you have really helped me over the years. I was the worst. I'm still not great, but you helped me understand that listening is truly, genuinely, whatever you want, listening to the client is what matters the most when it comes to any relationship. And when, if you're in sales, you're in the relationship business. David says it all the time. But what this piece particular, so it's understanding when to listen, when it's your time to be listening, when it's your time to be speaking. So if you think about it, again, I'll stick with what our agents are doing in the home. So they are physically sitting in the client's home with them, right? And they might be there an hour and a half to 2 hours, and the deal's done. Well, in that 2 hour time frame, I mean, if you really think about it, it is a whole experience, right? It's not, it would only take 30 minutes if you're able to walk in and say, okay, you're 65, you know, you're going to pass away one day. We need to make sure you have life insurance to take care of your final expenses, sign on the dotted line. It's not that easy. I wish it was sometimes, but it's not, right? It wouldn't be any fun. But think about this experience I speak to. I mean, there's so many emotion. In 2 hours time, Lindsay, and I know you've done this, you're going to laugh with the client. You may cry with the client. Either you or them or both of you may share something that would be considered super vulnerable about yourself or your life. There may be a moment of uncomfortability where you're kind of holding the client accountable, or they're holding you accountable to how you're serving them. So there's all these feelings and emote. It's a big production, and I don't want to use the production because I don't want it to sound, it's not fake. It's the opposite. What we do is so real. And so during this whole experience, there's times to listen and there's times to speak, right? So when to listen, obviously the easy answer, when to listen is, you know, the simple answer is when they're speaking, but let's talk about when to listen is when they're speaking about something they care about.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? If Mrs. Jones is speaking to me about her grandson, who is the light of her life, who has always been there for her, who's still at he's 35 with three kids and a wife, but still comes over twice a week to make sure she's got everything she needs, whatever. at that moment, Lens, you have to be listening. You have to listen with empathy. You have to listen with compassion. You have to listen with your eyes, like literally looking her in the eye. And you're not listening. This is a mistake I made so many times early on, and lots of agents do. You're not listening to gather ammo that you're going to use later to quote unquote persuade her. No, if you are, it's okay. It happens. It's natural. I would challenge you to stop doing that. You're truly listening just to get to know her. Mm-hmm. Important to her, right?
Yes.
Man, you helped me with that years ago in such a big way.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And you've helped me so much. You know, it's just when you listen, it's really that transfer of trust, right? When you listen about their beneficiary, right? And what this is going to be able to do for their family when she's no longer there and she's taken care of her grandchild since he was 1 year old, yep. Right? And so you don't know that unless you hear some of the stories that she shares with you. And it builds so much trust. When you just take a few minutes, again, they're seniors, and that's what really allows you to connect and go from what we were talking about earlier, go from good to great, right? Because your mental can be spot on, but if you're not able to connect with them through conversation, and I mean them being able to speak, then it doesn't go anywhere.
Lindsay, I'll say when I fully understood what Glenn was teaching me and I started to get good at being assumptive, and when I fully bought into and understood what you were teaching me with actually listening, there's a big difference in truly listening and then just hearing something. But those two things, because I'm listening to you talk right now, those two things are what took me from I was making it to this thing got really, really fun in a lot of ways. I got a lot better at what I was doing.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I remember those moments. You're like, hey, I'm seeing it click. I'm seeing their eyes perk up. Like, mm-hmm. Notice some of the body language that actually that kind of moves us into number four. So number four is matching the energy. So matching the energy, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say about that, because if you haven't heard already, or if you're watching, Kevin has this big energy and it's contagious. And so, you know, just to see it in the home is special, and to see him to be able to connect with all sorts of folks, all different walks of life. So, Kevin, share a little bit about being able to match that energy.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. God definitely blessed me with more than enough energy. Thankfully, we're in a business where you get to be yourself. So I was allowed to be loud and excited and happy and all the things. And I didn't have to be stuck in this box and be so prim and proper that I, you know, so that's something that I love about what we do is just that. So, if you jumped on YouTube today and started typing in, which I've done it, right? Sales tactics, sales tips, sales whatever. A lot of times you always see on the list mirroring someone's body language, right?
Yes.
I'm not saying that that doesn't work or that's not good to do. I personally, I never really studied it, so I can't tell you one way or another, but you know, they say mirror body language. If they lean back, you lean back. If they cross their, that never was really something that attracted me personally. I just never believed it would be super effective. But what really was next level for me is this, and what we're speaking to there. And again, Lindsay, I got to credit you and Chris Derry a lot here, David. But it's mirroring their energy. Mirroring under, and that's understanding their personality. Mm-hmm. So the easy examples that everyone can understand is if you're sitting in a home with a client and she is just all smile, she's like Lindsay, always smiling, always laughing, chitter chat, just chat, chat, chat. Well, for people like Lindsay and I, that's great because we do the same. So naturally, I'm already going to mirror that. But that's the person that'll take the time and want to chit chat about whatever. That's the person that wants to freaking crack up laughing about stuff with you. So mirror that. Do that. Have fun with them, right?
Yes.
If you're in the home with a man or a woman who continues to almost cut you off and is super direct, like, hey, get to it, Kevin. Hey, you already talked. We don't have to chit chat. What about this? Right. It only takes a couple of cues there for you to pick up like, oh, this person is what we call in the DISC language. Their dominance is higher. They move, go, go, go. So now, Kevin or Lindsay, if we're in the home, we got to understand we don't get to chit chat and laugh and crack up as much. We need to move the pace a little quicker. We need to give them less details and more bullet points, so to speak. Right now, let me tie something in here, Lens. This goes back to listening. When you sit with, let's say I'm sitting with a gentleman that is higher dominance. Hey, get to the point, Kevin. As long as I did my job on the front end and I actually listened to the little bit he was talking about during the get to know him process, when I start to move towards the presentation, he wants to speed me up. What you're able to do, Lindsay, you're able to speed your process up a little bit to keep his attention, but you're also able to add in a couple of things you heard him say earlier, prove to him you listened to him, so that builds the trust. Because if you didn't do that and you just speed through it, anybody listening, if you sold anything and you move too quickly and you don't have the trust, guess what? They don't buy it yet. Right. That'll make
Correct.
For you to help them. So it matching the energy. It's more than just if they're sad, you're sad. If they're happy, you're happy. It's more so matching the personality. If you got somebody, Lindsay, that's hammering you with detailed questions, you need to understand, slow down, Kev. He or she is not like you. Right. I don't need the details, so I can explain it really good without the details. But slow down, Kev. You need to go back in that brain and get the details that you know and make sure you're giving them that, because then they're going to feel comfortable. They're going to trust me because I had the answers to their detailed questions, right?
Correct. Correct. And I love the point that you made about, you know, that dominant, more dominant individual that's moving quickly, but you've got to build some and. Listen, both of us, many of you know that sometimes it can be challenging building that relationship with that person that's, I want it fast and faster, right? But taking those small nuggets that you got, if he was a coal miner or whatever he did for a living, there's something that piqued his interest, and hang on to that. And then throughout the process, tap on that a little bit. That continues. It's so spot on. It continues to build that trust.
So this will make sense, I believe. If there's a man that is trying to move you along quicker, okay, just like you said, if the agent just still says the same exact thing he or she always says, but just says it a lot faster because he wants me to move along, you know, then that is not at all going to be attractive or keep that man or woman's attention. So what it is understanding who they are. What you do, Lindsay, you're still hitting the bullet points. If they want to move quick, it's because that means they're decisive people. They're confident to make a decision quickly. And that means they don't need all the details to make a decision. That's why they're decisive, right? So instead of racing it and talking really, really fast and getting through it, no, you're still moving at the same pace, just like I am right now. But there's less words. We're hitting key words and most important points. And what happens there, now you match personalities. You got on their street, so to speak. And that man or woman is going to be so confident in making that decision because you gave them the info the way that you want it. They wanted it, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Especially if they're decisive, which that actually leads us into the fifth one, all right, which I'm super excited about because this is the often overlooked, all right? Visual organization equals silent authority. Right?
You blew my mind when you told me about this.
This is something that's so overlooked because typically, all right, not for everyone, but typically sales folks are unorganized, not always prepared, and you could typically see it in their weeks. If they got set on Sunday or Friday, they were prepared with their folders, their forms, iPad was charged, leads were put in. They have a pretty phenomenal week.
Mm-hmm.
Where if they didn't do those things like they were supposed to, maybe they're trying to do them Monday morning or when they got to the hotel, it's kind of a chaotic week. Is that a true statement?
Oh, man, you golly, you're hitting me. So, yes, but there's we're going to go even further. So the preparation is everything, literally everything. I studied every top agent we've ever had over the past, since I've been here 10 and a half years now. The common theme in all of them, they are prepared for their week early. Mm-hmm. Right. So we head out of town on a Monday morning. The common theme is they're all fully prepared, everything they need by Friday or Saturday. And that is them understanding. So salespeople, me and Lindsay talk about it all the time. It's organized chaos, right? Like we just naturally aren't organized people. People like us have to really put effort in to be organized. So these top salesmen and women that are prepared early, they understand that that's not their strength. So they need to do it, right? They need to be prepped. But raise your hand, Lens, if you did this. Let's say, because I know I have. Let's say I did everything I'm supposed to do on Friday or Saturday morning. I am fully ready. My bag, all the things in my kit are ready. The folders, the forms, everything's ready. Monday, boom, I'm headed out. I'm having a great week. By Tuesday afternoon, I am in someone's home and we're at a point in the sale where I need a form. And my bag now looks like an absolute wreck. I have to go out into my trunk and find a form, like, because naturally I got to moving. So I was all put together, but now I'm moving so fast that Tuesday by 5 p.m., it looks like a bomb went off in my kit, right?
Sure.
When I said a minute ago, you blew my mind with this statement. I never really thought through this, but I can't tell you how many times I did it. And now even today, I shared a story with Lindsay this morning, but even today I take calls from agents in the home and I can literally feel the unorganization, the chaos happening in the middle of this presentation they're doing because they don't have their stuff in order. So where I really started thinking through this was if Lindsay was helping me with my insurance and I knew nothing about life or health insurance or retirement plans, and if she came and sat down with me and Christy, my wife, and she's explaining things and I like her and I'm like, okay, I'm thinking this is going good. And then she pulls out a bag from underneath the table, her kit, to take care of my retirement plan. And there's a freaking bomb looks like it went off in it. And Lindsay's maybe, let's say, which you would never do this, but let's say your clothes are wrinkled and your hair. I'm not going to give you $250,000 of my hard-earned cash to set me up for retirement, Lens. Right? And I think a lot of us salespeople, not that Lindsay or I dressed poorly, like we press our clothes, all that. But I know that my kit didn't look right many, many times. And it even goes as far, Lindsay, to say, just like we're talking about assumptiveness. So we talked about assumptiveness. We talked about when to listen and when to speak. We didn't get to the when to speak. But so let's say now it's time when to speak. Well, guess that's my presentation. Right. So we build the relationship with the family. We listen to them. Now I'm speaking and now I'm being assumptive. So it's this smooth, streamlined process. Well, part of that smooth, streamlined assumptive process is when it's time to get the next form out, I have it ready. Oh, folder. Boom. Right here. Now we do this. OK, here's what we're going to do next. Boom. OK, now it's time to jump on the iPad. It's ready. It's not dead. How many times has the agent said, well, Kev, I had to leave and get my chart? Come on, man. Like, we can control what you're speaking to here. It's something that the team, we're going to talk a lot about with the team moving forward, because I just never really thought through it.
Well, it's, you want to, because especially you've done this over 1,000 times. And so when you go in with that readiness and preparedness, that's what that exudes to the client, right? I've done this 1,000 times. I know where my folder is, my iPad. I know exactly where this is. And so again, that builds trust, that builds confidence. And those are the small intangible things that, if your mental is there, but those are small things that take you from good to great.
They become habits.
Yes.
Do them instinctually. And literally, you're exactly right, Lindsay. They take you from good to great, and they allow you to not have the highs and lows, such highs and lows mentally. Because it gives you the confidence. So I asked Lindsay the other day, guys, when we were talking through this call or this podcast topic, she made some comments about, hey, if things weren't going good, I don't get a deal, I'm allowed to go to the car, I get 3 minutes to yell at my steering wheel or call David and vent. But then after three minutes, I would tell myself, I just have to get to the next door. Take yourself to the next lead. And we'll be okay. And I said, oh, and I know, Lindsay, right? That's real. But I said to her, I said, why? Why did you save yours? Why did you know if you just got to the next lead, everything would be okay? And Lindsay, what was your answer?
My answer was, I just knew as long as I knocked on that door, I could immediately go on to autopilot, because I knew the system. I knew what I needed to do. I just had to get to that next door. Because I knew those small things.
Mm-hmm. You had put in the work. Where me and Lindsay are the same in some ways. One of them is we're not dummies, but we're not always the fastest learners. I always respected Lindsay because she had to put the more time and effort into knowing her pitch and knowing the system. Same way I did. But once we get something, we got it, right? So when Lindsay was in this headspace that we all get in, life is crazy, sales is hard, it's emotional, we're that type of person, we're crazy. She knew, okay, blah, 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 get it all out. And then she could trust and stand on the fact, just get yourself to the next lead, Lindsay, and your habits that you've worked so hard on will just take over. It gave you the confidence to get out of your head and get back in front of the family.
1,000%. It was just I had to go get lost in somebody else's problems.
Man, right?
Get lost in someone else's problems and not my own problems. Right?
Yeah.
I love it. All right. So I think, Kevin, thank you so much for today. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for pouring in. And it's truly about, you know, mastering yourself. That is the true power. And when you learn these small intangibles, that's really what's going to take you from good to great.
I agree 1,000%. If you really think through what we spoke to today, it's not hard to master those things. That's what I love. I can do the work, right? I can trust in my work ethic. So to put the work in, and I know so many people can. So put the work in on these simple things that you can control, and it's going to make the mental game so much easier. It's going to make the whatever business you're in so much more fun, because there's less stress when there's more money and time, right? More money gives you more time, all the things. You guys know what it looks like. So, Lens, I appreciate you. I always enjoy the time with you.
I do too, Kev. Thank you so much. And thank you to all of our Hype listeners. And we will see you all next week.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's HIPE.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.
Imagine this. You just purchased your spacious new dream home with new memories on the horizon. But there's one thing hovering in the background that could cost you dearly, your home insurance. I'm Jim Tarabocchio here for the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. According to a report by USA Today, a 2024 study from the Insurance Information Institute found 12% of Americans no longer have home insurance, that number way up from the 5% figure in 2019. Karen Collins of the American Property Casualty Insurance Agency recently told CNBC insurance companies continue to seek alternatives.
We as insurance companies are advocating for solutions to really try and help address these increasing costs that families, individuals, and business owners are facing. This is the economic safety net that helps rebuild homes, neighborhoods, and communities, and it's really, truly vital.
About 40% of Americans who own their home view homeowners insurance as a discretionary purchase, and despite the risk, a handful of Americans have decided upon self-insuring their homes. So how can you get the best deal for you and your family without paying too much for homeowners insurance? Well, first, check your coverage. You don't want to insure your home for more than it's worth. And second, assess your deductible. A higher deductible could lower your premium. Third, consider bundling your car insurance with your home insurance, as companies offer discounts when you combine multiple policies. By being informed and proactive, you can make sure you're paying a fair price and protecting your property. For the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Jim Tarabocchio.